Our text for today is taken from the third chapter of the Revelation given to St. John, beginning at the first verse. And our Lord says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. So how are you coming on your shopping list? This is the time in the year when we're often thinking about purchasing gifts, if not actually going about doing that. The malls were filled over the weekend. It's interesting how many items and things can be purchased or given to us, and yet within a short period of time, they're not quite as exciting as they were the night you opened that present. You think back to yourself as a child, how maybe that one toy you just couldn't wait to get, how excited you were when you first received it, and yet probably just a few months later, you may not even have been playing with it anymore. There's something about us as human beings that the more familiar we are with certain things, sometimes the less we appreciate them. And that can be true about presents, it can be true about clothes, it can be true about a new car. Sad to say, it can even be true about people sometimes, someone you're dating. Our Lord's letter to the church in Sardis is dealing with this very issue. Sardis, at this time, this was a town in western Turkey, and at one time it was the capital of a small kingdom, and there was a Christian community there, a church that at one time had been very vibrant and very, if you will, alive for the work of the gospel. And yet, it appears that they had started to lose their enthusiasm, if you will, their zeal, their love for Christ and the things of his kingdom. Now, this is interesting because think about who they were and when they were around. Think of the advantages that they had in their day and age. They possibly had people in their congregation that had witnessed the great day of Pentecost. We're told that there were people from this region of the world that were present in Jerusalem on the great day of Pentecost and to witness those magnificent events. It's possible that there were even some descendants or relatives of descendants who had even witnessed the risen Christ, who had actually witnessed the resurrection of Christ from the dead. They're living in a time of the apostles. They have these great messengers of Christ that had come out to them and helped to establish these churches and so on. It's possible they're in a time of persecution, and persecution often makes us more firm about what we believe in and so on. So they have all of these things, if you will, that are kind of advantages for being believers in Christ, and yet they're growing weak. That's something that frustrates a lot of Christians about themselves. We've got a lot of advantages going for us as to why we should love the gospel and why we should care about the kingdom of God and what Christ has done for us, paying for our sins, giving us the hope of going to heaven, purchasing that for every one of us with his blood. And yet, we can just kind of relax about it and forget how special it is. Even in the afterglow of the period of the Reformation in the 1500s, the great theologian and hymn writer Philip Nicolai penned these words, "It is midnight, we are weary." Here he was living in an era when the church had been reborn, if you will, and come back alive with a love for the gospel and all the struggles and fights that they had to go through to hold on to that. You think of anybody in an era would be excited and enthusiastic, but how true his words are for himself and his day and for all of us. It is midnight and we are weary. How easy it is for us to get tired in our spiritual lives. How challenging it is for us to keep holding on to Christ and His grace and to keep appreciating that and treasuring that. And if we're honest, the greatest challenge that we face to doing this is typically not from the outside, although those can be pressures on us, but it's usually internal. It's usually from the inside. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8, Jesus had just finished the miraculous healing of Peter's mother-in-law. His disciples were all there to witness this. It was such a fantastic event that people were clamoring around Christ. They wanted to get more of this and to see more of this. The crowd was pressing on him so much that he had to leave. He had to get in a boat and with his disciples cross over the Sea of Galilee. And while on that trip, a storm comes up and the disciples are afraid for their lives. Jesus had promised them they would be going to the other side. And so he stands up to rebuke them and he says, "Oh, you of little faith." Think what they had just witnessed in Peter's mother-in-law's presence. So much that the crowds were swelling to come and see Jesus. They probably witnessed the same type of miraculous event in Jesus' ministry, maybe on a daily basis. They were in his presence regularly, listening to him and having him teach them. Jesus himself. And yet even they have to be chastised for their weak faith. And this shows us something about ourselves. This is just the natural condition of our sinful human hearts. Even those of us who have the greatest advantages of knowing and loving the gospel and knowing and loving Christ, we are so weak at this. Jesus says to the church here, "I know your works." He's able to see beyond the outward layer of piety and being so religious before the world. And he's able to look down into their hearts at what's truly going on. Spiritual decay usually doesn't show up for quite a while on the outside. It usually is rotting away inside for quite a while first before anybody on the outside even notices it. And so Jesus says to them and to us, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He's saying, there's still life in you. The faith that trusts in me as your Savior, it's still alive. The love for the things of God and for his kingdom and desiring to obey his commandments, it's still alive in you, he's saying. You just need to strengthen that. How wonderful it is to know that a weak faith is still faith. A weak faith still possesses everything that a strong faith does. The only danger is that we might possibly lose what Christ has if our faith is so weak that it can be taken away or easily have us be misled. So where does Jesus direct this church in Sardis and in essence us? Where does he direct us to make sure that this gets strengthened once again? He says, remember how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Where does he send us back? He sends us back to where we received this. Where was that for you? For me, it was in the waters of baptism. He says, remember how you have received and heard. He directs them back once again to the Word of God, to public worship, to hearing that Word of God. One theologian put it this way, each day and each Sunday's church service is to be a mini conversion in the hearts of Christ's faithful. A mini conversion each day. If I were to blindfold you today and take you a few blocks away over to Emmanuel St. Joseph's Hospital and you didn't know where you were going, and I took you up on the fourth floor and suddenly released the blindfold and had you look around and tell me what this place was for, you would be able within seconds to tell me you're in a hospital. You could tell just by how it's designed, how it's laid out. It was designed with sick people in mind. You could just see it. If someone were to blindfold you on the street and bring you into the sanctuary of God's house, into his hospital, and to release the blindfold and have you look around at the things that God has us doing here, that he's commanded, you would see that it's designed for people with a weak faith, for people just like you and me, who wrestle with our sins, who know that there's a judgment day coming, who are oftentimes terrified about our guilt and afraid of dying and so on. This is God's hospital. And if you look at what he's given us, his holy word, the sacrament, baptism, for the forgiveness of our sins, a constant reminder of his grace and mercy in Christ, directing us to heaven and so on, you can see exactly who he designed this around. Many times couples will tell you that it's easy for them to start taking their loved one for granted until suddenly something very dramatic happens. Maybe someone is fallen to an illness or maybe injured in a car accident. Maybe someone is suddenly away from them for a long period of time. And they'll sometimes say that when they once again see each other, it's as if they fell in love all over again. Your gracious and loving God invites you into his house to hear his word and to partake of his sacrament. He calls upon you to hold fast to the gift of faith you have in Christ and repent and to fall in love with Jesus Christ all over again. Amen.